So that's John 14, and we'll be in 1 Corinthians 2. Lord, we're thankful that you've gathered us here today. And Lord, we want to learn from your word. So speak to us through these passages here this morning, Lord, and touch our hearts. And as always, we take authority over the atmosphere in this room, and we bind any spirit that would cause a distraction in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause confusion in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause doubt in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause someone to feel inferior in the name of Jesus. And we bind any other tormenting and afflicting spirits who are attempting to come against us here today. Any spirit that is not of the Holy Spirit is bound and put in its place under the blood and the name of Jesus Christ here this morning. Only the Holy Spirit is able to speak and to move and to have his way in this place here this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, since Easter, we've been in a series on what is it to live in the Spirit. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection on Easter, he was able to send us the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said that when the Spirit comes, he will be in you. So we've been looking at what does that mean to have the Spirit in us, and what does it mean to live in the Spirit. Today, I want to continue along this and look at this idea of wisdom in the Spirit, or the wisdom of the Spirit. And what does it mean to us day to day to live in the wisdom of the Spirit? Now, this is different than the gift of wisdom, which we'll look at in a few weeks when we get to spiritual gifts. So this is different than the spiritual gift of wisdom. This is day-to-day life living in the wisdom of the Spirit. And I could do a whole series. I struggled on this one so much because there is so much in the Bible about the wisdom of the Spirit. I could do a whole series on this. So I hope to do it justice with one message. So let's start in John 14, which is kind of where we started this series from. John 14, starting in verse 16. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So again, we started our series with this passage where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to be in us. He's the Spirit of truth, which is Althea. Now, we're going to go down just a little bit further in John 14 to verse 25. He says, "All of this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Just a few verses after Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, we see this verse, this passage here, where he begins to explain what some of the work of the Spirit will be. He says, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. That's pretty cool. So the Holy Spirit is going to literally teach us all things. He's going to be our teacher. And it's funny, so I look at that phrase where it says that he will teach us all things, and so I look it up in the Greek to see if there's something else going on there, and guess what it says in the Greek? He will teach you all things. Just plain and simple. He will teach you all things. So now let's ask the question, why do we need a teacher? Well, in the next chapter, we're going to see why. So if you would turn, well, the next two chapters, turn to John 16. Page or two in your Bible, turn to John 16. We'll look at verse 12. Jesus says this, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." You see, there was a lot more that Jesus wanted to be able to teach his disciples and us. But you can't take all of God's wisdom and download it into our tiny little minds all at once. Our minds would explode. And so Jesus says the Spirit is going to come to continue teaching you the things that I couldn't do while I was here on earth. He's going to continue teaching you other things, and he's going to show you what is yet to come. But the best part, the way this is structured, is we get to understand that this teaching from the Holy Spirit is going to be an ongoing process as we are able to handle it. He can't give us all of his wisdom at once. And so the Spirit is going to be constantly there teaching us and pouring into us wisdom. This passage in John 16 also tells us that the Holy Spirit only speaks and hears what the Father and Jesus says. So everything that the Holy Spirit teaches us comes right from the source of all knowledge and wisdom. Isn't that what we want? And so the Holy Spirit is bringing us wisdom in its essence, wisdom from its very source. And he says that he will also tell us what is yet to come. So within the Holy Spirit teaching us, there will be a future and prophetic nature of his work. That should be sobering right there. So it says that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher, and he's going to teach us all things. So now let's ask the question, how do you learn from a teacher? My wife had to leave the room to go do kids ministry, but she's a teacher. We could ask her. Well, for one, you have to be present. You can't learn from the teacher if you're always absent. My wife's been teaching for 29, 30 years, and she gets so frustrated with the student that who's always absent because he's missing homework, he's missing assignments, he's missing lessons, and so he's falling further and further behind. And so if the Holy Spirit is going to be our teacher, then we have to be present. To learn from a teacher, you also have to be attentive to the teacher. If you never pay attention in class, you're never going to learn anything. Remember when you were a kid and the teacher could tell that no one was paying attention? What would the teacher do? The teacher would just stop and just stand there and wait, right? And finally, like after 5 minutes, all of a sudden all the kids in the room would be like, she's waiting. And everyone would get real quiet and pay attention. Right? Teacher didn't need to say a word. She would just stand there. Well, the Holy Spirit's kind of the same way. If we're not attentive to the Holy Spirit just waits. He will never run roughshod over our desires. And so if our desire is for other things, Holy Spirit's like, okay, fine, I'm just going to wait. You let me know how that's working out for you. So we must be attentive to Holy Spirit as teacher. Another way we learn from a teacher is asking questions. We raise our hand and we ask, teacher, I don't understand that. Can you explain that to me again? In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James says, if we lack wisdom, we should pray and ask, and the Lord will give us wisdom generously. But the method of the delivery of the wisdom is the Holy Spirit. And so in class, we can ask a teacher a question. We can ask the Holy Spirit for help. Amen? But in order to ask the Holy Spirit a question, we must put ourselves in a position to be able to receive from the Holy Spirit. This is what it is to live in the Spirit. Constantly seeking his wisdom, his instruction, his teaching, and paying attention, being in class. Tune in. Now, it also says in this passage that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. What is the nature of all things? Does this mean that the Holy Spirit will teach me next week's winning lottery numbers? The answer is, of course, no. He will teach us all things about Jesus. He will teach us all things about the Father. He will teach us all things about the kingdom. If it matters to the Father, the Holy Spirit will teach it to us. And if it matters to the Father, it better matter to us. So we need to make sure that we're asking the right questions of the Holy Spirit. Does this matter to the Father? Does this matter to the kingdom? Continuing in verse 26, he says, I will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything I have said to you. So Jesus says that the Spirit is also going to remind us of everything that he has already taught us. For us today, this is bringing scriptures to mind. In that moment, just when you need it, when a scripture pops into your mind, that was the Holy Spirit. Your own flesh wouldn't have done that. And so the Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus has already taught us by bringing to remembrance the scriptures. But that presents an obvious difficulty, doesn't it? If we don't know the scriptures, he can't remind us of them. It's like you just took the Holy Spirit and you handcuffed him and put a gag over his mouth. He can't remind you of what you didn't already know. And so as we learn and as we study the scriptures, the Holy Spirit reveals them to us. But then later when we need it, he will bring those scriptures to remembrance. All right. If you would now please turn to 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to jump in at verse 6. First Corinthians 2:6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom. Isn't that great? Not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Everything is still true, isn't it? The rulers of our age are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory. Do you see that? A wisdom that has been destined, has been hidden, that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Which is a quote from Isaiah 64. But God revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit teaches all things, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, let me try to unpack that briefly. There's a lot going on there. Verse 10, he says, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. So the hidden things before are now revealed to us through the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Up until the day of the coming of the Spirit, no one knew the good things that God had prepared for them. But now the Spirit reveals these things to us. In this context, what Paul is talking about here is Jesus. The Spirit enables us to understand the things of Jesus that previous generations could not know or understand. The verse goes on to say that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now remember back in John 16, 13 that we looked at just a minute ago, it said that the Spirit will only speak what he hears. Now couple that with this verse where it says he searches the deep things of God, so what the Spirit speaks is the deep things of God. But are we listening? You see, the Spirit comes to not only reveal Christ to us, but he comes to reveal the deep things of God. And that's all he's speaking. The Holy Spirit won't speak fluff to us. He speaks the secret things, the deep things, the things that he has searched out in the heart of the Father. But are we listening? Are we paying attention to the teacher? Verse 11. For who among you knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. No one can know our deep thoughts except our own spirit. You know, even my wife, we've been married for 29 years, and sometimes we can know each other. We can know each other's thoughts. We can, you know, maybe even finish a sentence. It's not the same as what your own spirit knows about you and about your deep thoughts. And then it says that in the same way, the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. You see, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit that's in God, and he's searching the deep things of God. Now watch this. It's the same Spirit that's in us. So the Spirit that is searching and understanding the deep things of God is the same Spirit that's in me, revealing the deep things of God to me if I will pay attention and listen. It's not like we have to go off on some wild hunt to find wisdom on some mountaintop from some guru. The Spirit of God who searches out his wisdom is already in me. And yet the world runs after gurus. We have access to the deep things of God through his Spirit. So, why don't I always feel that way? Verse 12. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. You see, this verse tells us that there is also a Spirit of the world. So it takes a very deliberate act on our part to make sure that we are paying attention to the right Spirit. The spirit of the world wants to reveal false wisdom, fear, anxiety, confusion. And he can do it awfully subtly. You see, that spirit of the world can package his wisdom in a way that makes it seem awful appealing. He can mix in just a little bit of truth. He can mix in just a little bit of whatever really speaks to our heart, to our gut. And he can make it sound like this is the real deal. But the Holy Spirit wants us to understand what God has freely given us, which is Christ Jesus. This is the wisdom of God. And so when we begin to seek after other things that are not aligned with Christ, is it any wonder that we run off the rails? Verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. I want to read that verse again from the New King James. It handles the end of it just a little bit better. It says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches us, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If you look this verse up in the Greek, it ends that way. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So Paul is saying that what he is teaching was not taught to him by humans with words of the world, but rather it was taught to him by the Holy Spirit himself, revealing both Christ and spiritual truths, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Which implies that there are competing spiritual realities which must be discerned and compared. This goes back to the spirit of the world in verse 12 that we just looked at. There is a spirit of the world with a competing worldview. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to discern which spirit is which. This is the wisdom of the Spirit. We are given this ability in wisdom through the Holy Spirit if we're living in the Spirit. and tapping into that discernment. Amen? Verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. That describes a lot of people. I won't care to guess how many. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. We can't have the Spirit without the Spirit, and we can't get the Spirit without the Spirit, and we can't understand the Spirit without the Spirit. And yet we ignore the Spirit. The person without the Holy Spirit cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they're foolishness to him. Now, this has the potential to be true on many levels. In this context, Paul is talking about to know Christ. But in this context, Paul is also talking about the power and the demonstration of the Spirit, which was in verse 4, just a little bit before we jumped in. In this context, Paul is talking about being able to discern spiritual realities. So it's important in the life of the Spirit to be able to get this. Now, let me show you how it can apply on various levels. At the lowest level, rejecting the Spirit prevents us from understanding Christ. If we simply stiff arm the Holy Spirit, we want nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, we can never even begin to have an understanding of who the fullness of Jesus Christ is, because it is the Spirit of Christ living in us. He comes to reveal Christ to us. If we prevent the Spirit, we have no understanding of Christ. He's just this distant God that's out there somewhere that I don't understand. And so I must be constantly listening to the Spirit as teacher, inviting, stewarding his presence so that I can understand the fullness of who Jesus is. Now, someone may come to know Jesus and invite the Spirit in for understanding of who Jesus is, but they may put up a barrier at that point and go no further into knowing the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe this comes from rejecting or grieving or quenching that we looked at last week. They look at the things of the power and that nature of the Spirit and like, well, I don't know, that's a little goofy to me, and they put up a barrier. And that prevents them then from seeing and understanding this whole supernatural power side of the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus introduced it, he said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power." There's a power that comes with the Spirit, but the understanding of that power comes with the Spirit himself. Then you could go to the next step. Someone might receive Jesus, understand him, receive the Holy Spirit for the supernatural and power gifts, but then go no further from that point with the Spirit. And then, therefore, fail to see and understanding competing spiritual realities. And I'm not just talking about the spiritual war with Satan. Yes, discerning spirits and being able to see the difference between good and evil, seeing what God is doing, seeing what Satan is doing, is a key part of going deeper with the Holy Spirit, getting wisdom and discerning what he's talking about here. But there's a whole other level to this idea of being able to discern spiritual realities, competing spiritual realities. When I'm allowing the Spirit to give me this level of wisdom, I can look at two options that on the surface appear to be the same, but the Spirit will tell me, no, it's this option. Go this way. This is the one that the favor of God is on. I can look into an atmosphere and see what God is doing. I can simply look into the atmosphere of this building and I can see what God is doing. I can walk into any room, any place, and the Spirit will enable me to see and to understand what's going on in the atmosphere of that place. Isn't that kind of helpful? The Spirit will also give us in this ability to discern, again, beyond just discerning between good and evil, what the devil is doing, what God is doing, the Spirit will give me the ability to discern when something is not true. I cannot tell you how often I've been in a counseling appointment with someone and they're telling me something, yada, 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 blah, 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 and the Spirit whispers in my ear, they're lying. And I just call him out. I said, you're lying. You didn't tell me the truth. I'm like, It's kind of helpful, isn't it? You see, this is what it is to live in the Spirit on a day-to-day basis, to have that level of His discernment in us at all times. Verse 15. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things. Pretty helpful, isn't it? But he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Again, let me read it to you in the King James. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. You could render this verse this way. He who has the Holy Spirit can discern all things, yet he is not under the judgment of those without the Holy Spirit. So if I'm operating in the Spirit, I have the ability to judge all things, but if somebody who's not in the Spirit comes against me, they have no power of judgment over me. That's kind of helpful. All right, turn to Ephesians, please. We're going to look right at chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. Boy, that just sums it up in one verse. Ba-bam. Paul prays for the church in Ephesus that they would receive the spirit of wisdom. Now, let me ask you a question. How many spirits are there? One. So the spirit of wisdom then is the Holy Spirit. There's only one Spirit. And so he's praying that the Holy Spirit would come and give the church in Ephesus wisdom and revelation so that they would know Jesus better. So we can pray that others would receive a spirit of revelation, right? This is a prayer that we can pray. But we must also see how important this is, that we get this spirit of wisdom and revelation. The whole book of Ephesians, Paul is really pleading with them to be wise as compared to the world. He was praying that they would receive this spirit of revelation so that they would understand the deep things of God. Now, I'm just going to read a few more verses from that to whet your appetite. I keep asking that the God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He just rewords it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. In order, so now he said that he wants us to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and that the eyes of our heart would be opened in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you. So, if we need hope, we need wisdom. We can't understand hope without wisdom and revelation. The hope to which he has called you, comma, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So again, we need the wisdom and the revelation so that we can understand his riches in us. We're his inheritance. When we understand that we're his inheritance, that's kind of cool. And it changes the way we think, but we need wisdom to get there. The children are having a lot of fun today, aren't they? My wife's in there today. the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, which is us, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. There is incomparably great power for us. But we need wisdom to understand it. We need the spirit of wisdom. And then he goes on, just in case we weren't quite sure how great this power was, he goes on to explain it. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. That's the power that we get with wisdom. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, Jesus, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, that's us, the church. Now, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed Jesus to be head over the church, which is his body, we're the body of Christ. The church is the fullness of him who Jesus fills everything in every way. So with wisdom, we begin to understand that the fullness of everything that is Jesus is to be in the church. And the way that we get there is through praying and asking for the spirit of revelation and wisdom. Pretty amazing, if you ask me. All right. Turn the page to Ephesians 3, and we'll wrap it up into Ephesians 3. Maybe. Ephesians 3, verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This drives home the point as to why it is so important that we get and have the spirit of wisdom. The word manifold that Paul uses here, the manifold wisdom of God, he sort of makes up a word here. He takes two adjectives, much and diversified, and he puts them together. It occurs no other time in the Bible, and it is used extremely rarely in other Greek literature. So he's using unusual language to paint a picture of how incomprehensible and how vast the nature of God's wisdom is. He went outside of the normal bounds of literary devices to try to convince us that God's wisdom is incredible and vast. And he says that this is being revealed through the church. To whom? To principalities and powers. In the NIV it says rulers and authorities. King James uses principalities and powers. Paul uses principalities and powers. The NIV uses principalities and powers in Ephesians 6:12. It's the same word. So this manifold wisdom of God is being revealed through the church to the principalities of powers. And the principalities and powers are demonic. Do you see that? God is revealing the vastness, the greatness of his wisdom through the church to demonic spirits. Let me unpack this a little bit more. Let me read to you the way Grant Osborne in his commentary translates this verse. He says, to make known now the multifaceted wisdom of God through the church to the principalities and authorities in heavenly places. Here's a quote from Dr. Osborne. He says, the existence and growth of the church has implications that resound throughout heaven and the entire spiritual realm. All of the hostile principalities and authorities have now become aware of the profound wisdom of God. The revelation of God's wisdom to the powers in the heavenly places happens through the church. Paul says that the wisdom of God will be made known to evil forces simply in the walking out of God's wisdom in the church. Here's what's interesting. Dr. Osborne made this observation. He says, nowhere does Paul ever command us to preach to the evil forces. This verb, to be made known, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known, is in the passive form. When we live in and according to God's wisdom in the Spirit, our lives and the functions of the church are instructing evil forces. This is life in the Spirit. Now, this wisdom, this manifold wisdom of God that's being revealed in the church is twofold. There's two components to it. First, it points to the salvific work of Christ, which the demonic realms did not see coming. You see, if the demonic realm knew that putting Jesus on the cross would defeat them, they would have never done it. So the demonic realms didn't see, God did not reveal to them what Christ's work on the cross would accomplish. This took them by surprise. But now the manifold wisdom in the church, as we glorify Christ on his cross, we point to the entire demonic world, you're defeated, as we exalt Christ on his cross. But the second thing that this wisdom does, this wisdom points to the divine economy of the ages for all time for the people of God. Look back with me to verse 9. We started in verse 10. Let's look at verse 9 real quick. It says, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. So up until the coming of the Spirit, these things were hidden. Verse 10, now his intent is that through the church, this wisdom would be made known. God is revealing all of his mysteries to the church in the face of his enemies. Remember Psalm 23, it says, I prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. He's prepared the table for us. The enemy can't touch what's on the table unless we let him. We get to eat in the enemy's face from the banquet table of the Lord. It's the same here. The wisdom of God was given to our benefit for all time, for all ages, for all people, and the enemy gets to eat his heart out. Now, this goes back to John 16, 13, where we started, where it says, the Spirit will let us know what is to come. God will, through His Spirit and through His wisdom, He will be revealing things to us that the demonic realms don't know. This is needed in the church today more than anything. Why? Those same demonic forces are instructing the world in false wisdom. I love my thin line Bible, but you turn one page and you've gone five books. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Do you realize that there are demons out there teaching people things? Our defense is the manifold wisdom of God in the Spirit. There are demons out there. Just, that's a sobering thing. Just go home and read that a couple times this week. 1 Timothy 4:1. There are demons teaching things. Now, he talked about the spirit of the world. We have to be able to discern between his spirit and the spirit of the world. The world out there, the spirit of the world, who are they listening to? They're listening to the demons. Don't believe me? Turn on your TV. Now, the church currently is not representing this manifold spirit of God's wisdom as he intended here in Ephesians. We are not tapping into the deep things of God and living out his abundant, manifold wisdom. The church has resorted to repackaging the wisdom of the world. Our constant gaining and growing in the wisdom of the Spirit defeats the enemy. But so often we just take what the world has given us, we take what the demons have taught, and we try to repackage it. You see, because sometimes the wisdom of God doesn't seem like it makes sense to us. God says, I'm going to give you this city, and you're going to do it by walking around the cities for 7 days. King Jehoshaphat, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20, surrounded by a vast army. He should be making battle plans, and he appoints men to sing. And they defeat the enemy. Why don't we exercise and operate in the wisdom of God? Well, one, I think we just don't take the time. We just live in a microwave society, and who's got time to listen for God? Come on, I gotta go. God, I gave you your 30-second space. You didn't speak to me. I'm just going to go do what I know. We don't believe it or understand it. We just don't believe or understand this incredible concept of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And so because we don't understand it, because we don't believe in it, we just leave it on the shelf. Lack of obedience. Not following the ways God instructs us because they run counter to the world. What do you mean you want me to walk around the city 7 times? I'm not going to do that. I'll look like a fool. Yeah, how about building an ark when it's never rained before? Have you ever noticed in Scripture that God doesn't really care about embarrassing people? Right? Think about all the greats in the Bible. Yeah, build an ark. For what? Because it's going to flood. What's that mean? It means it's going to rain. What's that? It's never rained before. I'm going to give you the city. Walk around it 7 times. Wait, what? Even when we seek him for his wisdom, we may not be obedient to what he calls us to do. Another, we try to compete with the world. It's probably been going on forever, but to me, as I look at history, it started in the postmodern, what we call the postmodern era, where science had moved into to the time of modernity. The church felt left behind, and so rather than being obedient to the things of the Father, they tried to improvise and adapt and just look like the world, but a little different. So we try to compete with the world, and we put fog machines in our church. And I've already alluded to it, but we're unwilling to look foolish. So let me try to wrap this up. Whatever our problem, whatever our struggle, the wisdom that we need is already in the person of the Holy Spirit. We just need to slow down long enough for him to instruct us. So often we only think about the Holy Spirit in terms of power gifting. But wisdom is such a huge part of the work of the Spirit. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and a little bit in Romans. The wisdom of the Spirit is all the way through the New Testament. This should be the decided advantage of the church in our day, our wisdom. And yet we wane pinefully about the days of Solomon. That was a long time ago, church. The Spirit is always revealing Christ to us, and everything we need is in Christ. Walking and living in the Spirit is tuning in and walking in His wisdom day by day, moment by moment. What the world needs to see is real, true God wisdom flowing out of the church and not this counterfeit wisdom of the world that we have attempted to adapt. Life in the Spirit is waiting until He speaks. I heard another preacher talk about that recently. He says, I just wait until He speaks, however long it takes. I've been trying that. It's pretty cool. His wisdom might defy our logic. His wisdom might make us look foolish. But His wisdom is right every time. Amen. All right. I don't know what worship team doing.